Hello, everyone. Welcome to Inside the Studio on iHeartRadio. My name is Jordan Runtog, but enough about me. You could call my guest today a pop prodigy. At age 18, she became one of the youngest Grammy winners ever for Don't Let Me Down, her 2016 song with the Chainsmokers. That same year, she released her debut LP, Sit Down, Look Pretty. She's a veteran of Forbes 30 Under 30 and Billboard's 21 Under 21 lists. Recently, she took a step back from music to reconnect with herself and her life, but now she's back and she has a lot to say. Now 22, she's entering an exciting new chapter of her career. There's a new label, new songs, and a new single, Bad Girl. She says the track is among her most personal to date, a direct reflection of her life's experiences. That sense of intimacy permeates her work in progress, an EP that's coming soon. Today we're going to hear more about her creative rebirth. I'm so happy to welcome Daya.
Of course, I'm so excited to be here. It's so great to talk to you.
First things first, your new track is called Bad Girl. It's a very loaded phrase in our culture, but you're flipping the narrative with your song. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I actually wanted this to kind of play off of personal experiences I've had with the term, loosely with the term, but more just kind of like that sort of stereotype, which I think is projected onto women who are bold or assertive or kind of, you know, speak confidently and for what they want and don't really care about if it clashes with what the people around them are saying or whatever. And I think that I, over time, have been, just when I was younger, I think when I was a teen, but also throughout my budding adulthood too, I think I've been in situations where I've been more, you know, like, I don't want to do this, let's go in this direction, or just more assertive in that way with my writing and with other aspects of my career. And I have been called a problem child before. I've been called just other like miscellaneous like things that you would say like about someone who is kind of like embodies that stereotype, I guess, or who makes other people feel uncomfortable because of their like assertiveness. And I feel like as a woman, we run into that so much in kind of like a male dominant culture. And the music world is definitely not, would be included in that. And yeah, I think it was just about like flipping that on its head and being like, no, a bad girl isn't someone who did something bad. It's about someone who is not afraid to speak up for what they want. And even if it means like clashing with what, you know, the people around them want for them. So yeah, it's kind of a way of reclaiming the term, I guess.
Awesome. I mean, in a lot of ways, it sounds like the antithesis of your first album title, Sit Still, Look Pretty. It's kind of like, which I know obviously was done in a sarcastic, facetious way, but it's playing off that. It was funny to see the two together.
Yeah. I think it feels like messaging, like a kind of a continuation of that. People have pointed that out to me, and I feel like it definitely feels like I was trying to say similar things in both. Yeah, it's cool.
I love the track. The song was co-produced, I believe, and also co-written with Charlie Puth. What was it like working with him in the studio? Or was this during COVID or was this pre?
This was during COVID, yeah. So this was, we actually wrote all together in the studio for one of the only in-person sessions I've had this year. And I think because of that, we just felt this like energy, this more like, you know, we were all so excited to be back. And yeah, there was such a flow to it. And Charlie wasn't actually there that day, but Jay Cash, who is the owner of my label and my co-writer, he wrote it with us. And just in that moment, the best thing about working in this kind of label structure is that with him being the owner of my label and also my co-writer, is that we can write anything and then like a second after be like, okay, we're putting this next, and yeah, this is the next single. So we decided in that moment, and then he's just really good friends with Charlie, so he sent it over to him and Charlie loved it and he wanted to throw some production on it. And yeah, it's really cool. I love him. I love his music. He's so talented. So it's definitely a cool thing that he wanted to do that.
An incredible track. How have you been feeling just creatively in the last year? Obviously the last year during lockdown has been tough, but have you been feeling really productive creatively, or has it been sort of a struggle to get your head into that space?
Every day's been different. In the first few months, I didn't want to look at, right, I didn't want to go in my studio. I didn't think about writing. I didn't want to think about singing. I was just like, no, I need to sit in my bed and watch TV all day and not think about anything else happening in the world. So I did that. And then I feel like I got that out of my system. And I'm someone who just like can't sit still really after, well, not to, play on my, I think I was just going stir crazy. And I wanted to get out and start creating and writing more. So I built this like little makeshift studio in my house and started teaching myself how to produce. And I started writing on my own, which I haven't done in like 4, 5 years before everything kind of started for me professionally, which is really cool. And just kind of like sitting with my thoughts. And I think that that was a really good thing to happen before this next era of releasing music, because I had just the most clarity and the most time to like, if this isn't the best like reflection I can do of myself right now, I don't know what will be, because I have spent so much time on this stuff. So
What is your process for that? Is it something that you do almost like a meditation practice or an exercise practice where you every day you're there and some days you're good, some days the muse comes and some days not? Or do you sort of only sit down when you have an idea already going in your head?
I feel like I don't try to force it, because otherwise it feels like work. It feels like something I don't want to do. And ultimately, like, I'll be more critical of myself. I'll be hard on myself. Like, I'll just set up these boundaries in my head where I won't go certain places. But I feel like if I have an idea just out of nowhere, I'll tend to follow that and to just lead me to wherever it goes. And I think that that's just like something that I found is the best way of writing for me personally, is because I just, I feel like if I try to force it, it never works out the way I want it to.
There's
So,
a video you shared, I think it was over the summer, captioned Relearning the Guitar, and you were playing Blackbird, which was, I think, probably the
yes, a
first, oh
classic.
my God, I think that was the first song I learned on guitar that I was ever really proud of. That
Yes.
was like,
Yeah, that was, I thought it was a lot more advanced than it was. And then a lot of people were like, no, we all learned that as our first riff. So yeah, I tried picking up the guitar. I used to play actually a lot when I was younger, just chord, like more like chords, the same like 4, 5, 6 chords or something. Just when I would play shows like uptown from my house and like a little coffee shop or whatever when I was younger. But yeah, I never really got into like finger picking or anything like that. So it's been fun. I've been trying to
yeah.
learn from YouTube. There's like such a world of tutorials, and literally any that you can ever imagine is on there.
What are
So
you
it's
learning
been
now?
fun trying to pick it up again. I tried to learn going to California, but that's a lot harder. So I'm
Oh my
trying
God.
to, but who knows where it's just gonna be super. I'm never gonna release anything that I'm ever doing on the guitar. It's just more for me to.
Oh.
No one wants to hear that. Not at this point.
Oh, I loved your version of Blackbird. I mean, the Beatles are just my everything, my responsible for every creative impulse I've ever had. Are there any people like that in your life? Are there any musicians out there that made you want to be a musician? Any heroes?
Yeah, when I was younger, my parents listened to a lot of Alanis Morissette. Actually, the first cover that I did live, I was 9. I was in this like rock band that it was like a summer camp type thing, and we played at this bar right near my house. And Ironic was like one of the first songs that I ever learned how to play. I put it on the piano, and I loved her. I loved Dido a lot. I really loved her tone and her like grittiness, I guess. Or I guess she was more like soulful, and Alanis was kind of had more that more like raw, like gritty feel. And then Amy Winehouse is like my god. Probably ultimately got into music more than anyone. Cannot ever anything. Like, I still to this day, like constantly watching her perform, watching her like listening to her early albums. I feel like she's someone who just you can always learn something, like pick up something on her music, which has
Oh.
been fun as an adult, because as a kid I feel like I loved just listening for fun of it, obviously. But now it's like every little like riff and scat choice and everything is just, it's so cool to listen to now.
So much is made of her voice, which is just, obviously one of a kind, and her phrasing is amazing. But I feel like I've been discovering more recently her lyrics are just incredible. They're just raw and fearless, and she really goes there. I mean, that's what I really love about her.
I think that her lyrics were really what drew me in. I mean, yeah, her voice too. I feel like the combo of the two is just like, it feels like you're in wherever she was making the album with her. It's just so personal and so like free-flowing and just flow of thought. Yeah, and it's really, really cool, because I feel like there's really not a lot of that out there that feels that personal, so, or vulnerable, so it's cool.
This is probably a weird question, but would you consider yourself an old soul?
I've heard that a lot before. Maybe. I don't know. Who knows? I haven't gotten into the phase of life where I'm like into like looking into a bunch of different religions and like reincarnating.
You're not getting your chart done. You're not getting your astrological.
That up. But I feel like it's coming soon for me. But I feel like I definitely could believe in reincarnation if someone gave me a good explanation for it. But I don't know. Maybe I was an old lady in my past life. I lived to be like 100 something.
Well, I think that's one of the things I love about Amy, is I feel like I pick up on that in her music, and I also in yours too. I feel like there's a lot of experience in the lyrics, and it comes through in every line that you say. And I sense that in both of you. That's why I ask.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate it. That's a huge honor. Thank you.
2020, such a bizarre, transformative year, I suppose is the most positive way I could put it. How did it change you as an artist or as a person?
I think in so many ways. I think I would not be releasing the type of music that I am without it. I think not writing my songs about it, but just, yeah, I think I've grown a lot as a person, and I have probably just like put things into perspective that I hadn't before, and also just realized the power of song and music and how it can touch people in times like this, and how it can be kind of that like through line to connect people's experiences, because I feel like I really had like heavily relied on music to get me through quarantine, and I'm sure so many other people did. So yeah, I just definitely realized like the weight and power that it holds, and just made me more excited to get back into it and keep putting stuff out.
And you took some time off from your music career before dropping First Time last fall. What made you decide to take a bit of a breather?
I think it was like a few years in the making. I feel like I, like 2 or 3 years ago, I like had this like gut feeling of just wanting to just take more time to myself and live with myself and get to know myself and get to know the artist that I want to be a little bit more clearly, and also just like live regular human experiences that I felt like all my friends were living in college and, you know, going in and out of relationships and friendships and everything. And I feel like I just definitely knew that for my development and for my music too, for my writing, it was crucial for me to have those years to kind of just like fuck up and do the wrong thing and explore and experiment. And I definitely like knew that that was something that I needed for my development and for clarity as a songwriter too, and for my artistry. So I was still like touring and releasing music and stuff. It was just kind of more, I definitely took more time for myself too. I tried to fit that in as much as possible. So I'm really happy that I did that.
You said that First Time is sort of more like a musical rebirth or reintroduction. You sort of hit the restart button in a way. How so for you?
Well, I think it was just the first song that I've released that I felt really, really like 100% kind of reflects where I was at the time. And I guess my whole like journey of like taking time to myself and everything has been to get to a point where I feel like I am not holding anything back. I'm super honest with my music and it feels like me. And I feel like with the early stuff, it was, you know, it was all rushed. It was all just kind of like made in this like whirlwind of things happening. Hideaway started charting super early on, and I had this like same team of writers that just got together and helped write the rest of the album. And I'm really grateful for that. And I, you know, I still have such like personal connections to a lot of the songs released then. But I also feel like my gut feeling of me needing to take time was definitely partially because I felt like I wanted to just be more in control of my writing and what I wanted to say and how I wanted to say it and what I wanted to sound like and everything. So for me, first time was really like the first time that I felt that way. So many puns in this interview. Wow. I hate it.
I saw the water in the visuals for it. Very like, you know, rebirth. What's the word for like baptismal?
Yes, yeah. It was yeah, we definitely wanted to symbolize rebirth and kind of me falling into it in the beginning of the music video, and then me going throughout this like journey of my subconscious, kind of in the back of this truck, pretty much just like having no control over where it was going, and then gaining that control as I went, and then emerging at the end out of the water as like a new person, a new really realized person. And Bad Girl kind of continues off of that too with the visual, because it's also kind of this like subconscious journey. The bar exists in this like dreamlike place that we really wanted to come across as like reflective of my subconscious at the time, just going through the process of discovering my sexuality. And you know, I saw that girl, and then I just like all these feelings and emotions started coming through me, and I you see me in this like very kind of the lights are crazy and there's like fog, and it's just like this very like weird mystical kind of dreamlike place where I'm trying to come to terms with my sexuality. And then at the end of it, I emerged this like fully realized, confident person, and I'm like I have like my dress on and my heels, and I do this like runway performance, because we really wanted to get that across of that like arc. So yeah, I think a lot of my visuals I've tried to carry the sort of like rebirth theme into for the past two releases, I guess. And we'll I don't know, I don't want to say anything about the other song that's coming up, but yeah.
Oh, that was what I was going to ask you. I mean, what are you working on now? I know a lot of fans are wondering about what's next for you, next album or.
I'm working on an EP and I'm very excited. It's going to be Bad Girl's going to be on it, First Time's going to be on it, and a few other songs. And it just feels like the most confident and proudest I've been releasing music. And I want to release it tomorrow. I don't want to wait. I want everyone to hear it right now. I'm so excited.
Are you able to say roughly when or?
Soon. Yeah. I feel like that's been a key word the past like 2 years, where it's like I feel like it has no meaning anymore, just soon. But I'm telling you it has meaning. I'm telling you it does. It actually is coming very soon.
Any surprises on it? Any new collaborations? Any surprising music choices or anything you're able to share?
I will say it's kind of a mixed bag of things. It does live in that dance, the dance space with First Time and Bad Girl, and then it kind of carries over into this more intimate, stripped down. We have a stripped down kind of acoustic song, I'll Give That Away. We have some more kind of like alternative leaning, more rock leaning. It kind of plays with a bunch of different genres that I've been listening to myself. So yeah, I'm really excited. I think it hopefully will have something for everyone.
Can't wait to check it out. There, I was reading some interview you gave recently. I'm trying to remember who it was with, but you were talking about how at some point in your career you want to experiment with scales outside of like Western modes, at Western modalities. How in like Eastern scales, it's so
Oh
cool. I
yeah.
think someday that would be a really interesting to experiment with.
Yeah, I think, well, I have family in India, and I've been once, and I grew up going to Indian brunch every Sunday in Pittsburgh, and I just loved watching Bollywood on, because they would always play like these like full like feature films on their screens while you're eating brunch, and I just loved, like, I was always just so mesmerized. I loved watching it, I loved listening to it. The scales are just something, like they have notes that don't exist in our scale, that they regularly use, and I think that that's just so cool and something that I would definitely don't know the most about right now at this point in my life, but I want to, and I want to hopefully implement that in my music at some point.
Kind of dovetails into my last question. We've been asking everybody, if you could snap your fingers and have everything go back to whatever your definition of normal is, say, you know, pre-COVID, pre-everything, what would be the first thing that you would do? Places you would go, people you'd hug, restaurants you'd eat at, although I guess a lot of those are opening now. What would be the first thing that you would do?
I would probably travel. I would probably just get out. I feel like I would just go to like, I don't know. I've been thinking a lot about Tokyo recently, just randomly. And it's always been one of my favorite cities, but I would love to travel and to maybe go to Tokyo. Also to hug my grandparents. I think that's something that I definitely haven't done in so long, and I want to do as soon as we all get vaccinated.
Thea, thank you so much for your time, Davis. This is such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was great talking to you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Inside the Studio, a production of iHeartRadio. For more episodes of Inside the Studio or other fantastic shows, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.